This episode of Deep in the Weeds is proudly supported by Square, built for every business.
Working on the floor and running restaurants is a great attachment. You know, you live and breathe it every day, you know. Whereas like not being on the floor as often, you know, I still get that satisfaction and, you know, those moments of joy by creating new spaces. I think that that's really important to me.
This is the Deep in the Weeds podcast. I'm Anthony Huckstep. Longevity in the hospitality game is no mean feat. A career in the industry is one thing, but owning a venue for a decade or two, well, that's pretty rare. What does it take to not only run one of Australia's best restaurants for two decades, but continually add more colour and nuance to the industry with new offerings too? Maurice Tazzini is one of Australia's best restaurateurs and entrepreneurs. Maurice, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, Anthony. Good to hear your voice and nice to talk to you this morning.
It's good to catch up with you, mate. You are busy. You are one of the busiest people I think I know.
I was back on the floor last night, mate. So.
Well, you've just opened a new venue as of last night. Tell us a little bit about it.
It's a collaboration or, you know, partnership with Joseph Baghetto from Mr. Bianco. Joseph and I have known each other for quite some time, Anthony, for, you know, over a couple of decades. We actually sort of grew up, you know, two Melbourne Italian boys. So we sort of connected way back then. We sort of started really talking to each other and wanting to do something together during the COVID period. I think we both saw a little bit of inspiration in each other and, you know, we both helped each other sort of get through that stressful period. And we sort of... Joseph had a restaurant up in Little Collins Street and, you know, it sort of had its day and it was just a perfect little site. And I've been wanting to do this garage-inspired restaurant, you know, that sort of played tribute to the Italian, not only the Italian, but I suppose all migrants, you know, of the 50s, 60s and 70s, 80s and so on. And, you know, the stories that came out of the food and alcohol stories, wine stories, drink stories that came out of those garages. So in a way, it's a little bit of a tribute to that. And it's even a tribute to that, even in design, it's sort of a bit of a tongue-in-cheek take on, you know, Italian gardens that were all concrete, as we know. So it's basically, we call it our brutalist garage.
Amazing. Well, you're known for some pretty amazing restaurant designs. What was it like trying to capture that sort of garage sort of feel but still having a, you know, a great venue?
Well, so it was pretty basic because we sort of looked at, you know, the one material that I can say this because I am one, all the wogs use, you know, all the Italians use, you know, which is concrete. So we sort of like went, well, you know, it predominantly has to be concrete. So it's basically a concrete rendered room with some steel. And we just kept it really basic. So, and then we just dived into the Italian brutalism that I'm a big fan of. And from that, you know, from the last century and so on. And, you know, yeah, that's how we sort of captured the feeling.
Well, speaking of renovations, Iceberg's, you've had that for 20 years, which is hard to fathom. It's extraordinary, but it's...
20 years on December the 14th, Anthony, to be precise.
Wow. And it's, you know, undergoing an incredible renovation at the moment. Tell us a bit about, you know, the reasoning and the process.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a... It wasn't really a hard decision. We sort of had no choice. Being on top of the ocean, Anthony, in some... It's quite a challenge for let alone for anything, let alone a restaurant. It's like owning a boat. You sort of start at one end and you finish at the other. And when you finish at the other end, you know, you got to start all over again, you know. And it just got to the point that the salt had pretty much, you know, eaten into everything. Everything was corroded, you know, we started to see the damage, salt corrosion over the last couple of years and, you know, sort of got to the point that we just, you know, couldn't add another Band-Aid, you know, and it was just time to sort of like, you know, freshen it up, both, you know, predominantly actually, to be quite honest, for ourselves, we sort of like tripled the size of the kitchen, improved staff facilities, improved efficiency in the restaurant, you know, new cellar. we're sort of like, you know, the restaurant's taking a direction of, you know, where I want to be these days, you know, so we've sort of decreased the list. I'm a big fan of less is more, you know. And so we're just tidying up our wine list, tidying up our drinks. Menu will sort of be refreshed within sort of like same philosophy, but maybe a different approach. And but most excitingly, we're covering the terrace out the back. Excuse me. So that commercially made it stack up because we sort of gained another 60, 70 chairs. So that made sense. You know, we've got still got quite a long time left on our lease. We're sort of like, I had decided that once I hit 20 years, I'd move on. And that was always in my line of sight. And Anthony, but then once we sort of, it's taken nearly 4 years to get the DA and sort of been working on this idea for quite some time. So I've just decided to stay on because it's going to be too beautiful to leave.
Yeah, it's been so important to so many people that have visited or want to visit when they come to Australia. What's it been like for you? 20 years is extraordinary. Is there any sort of highlights or moments that have been really important to you?
Oh, you know, like every day at the Icebergs can be a highlight, you know. Just the view alone is a highlight. So, you know, every time you go in, sort of you remember where you are. Obviously, the opening day I think was really important to me. It sort of had its fair share of problems getting open as well. You know, had a lot of investors pull out. This is like going back 22, 23 years ago when Bondi was still really Bondi. And it had a real surf punk community to it, and which probably all moved up to Byron now. But, so I followed them up there anyhow. But, you know, it was quite a challenge to open the Icebergs, both financially and just, you know, with you know, other issues. And so opening was quite a highlight. And I think that also, you know, when we threw our first New Year's Day party, I think that was pretty memorable. You know, we turned the philosophy there was to turn a Two Hat restaurant into one of the world's great day clubs for only one day a year. And, yeah, that the first party was epic, as were probably most of them, yeah.
I want to explore sort of what you're doing now because you're doing so many things. It's quite extraordinary. But, you know, you're regarded as one of the best front of house professionals in the country, in our history. What are your influences and what's important to you for that, delivering that front of house experience?
Oh, you know, I wouldn't put myself in that category, but thank you very much. I'll take that as a great compliment. I think that, you know, I think that what I do have is I have a particular style. And I think that that's really important when you're establishing yourself and your presence on the floor. And I think that all my restaurants, fortunately, have adopted that style. And, you know, I sort of like look at, you know, my father once said to me that, you know, the basics are, you know, never not forget, you know, and be thankful that people have made the choice to spend their money with you, you know. So these sort of basic, you know, basic appreciation and understanding that the customer is actually spending money with you, I think is fundamentally at the roots of being a good waiter. I think if you lose sight of that, you know, you've lost sight of everything, because at the end of the day, people are spending money and it is a business. I think that that's really important. And I've always tried to over-deliver in that regard. And then there's just a minimum, you know, there's a minimum level service, regardless whether you're serving a coffee or filleting fish, that you can't go below. And, you know, what else can I say?
The fascinating thing about your venues is that they do carry your DNA. They can be quite different, but there is that feeling that it's come from you. How do you share that with your staff for them to deliver your vision?
I think that a lot of it's been quite difficult the last couple of years because I'm sort of like now starting to step out of the restaurants, and that's something that I'm probably working on at the moment and trying to, how can I articulate, you know, my creative output or my creative ideas into actually like, you know, a system. And that's something that's, you know, that I've been challenged by, that I'm trying to resolve, and I'm working very hard at, you know, being able to keep my voice alive without being in the restaurants. I think that that's really important. But a lot of it, you know, but in the past, a lot of that was really on the spot training. and just actually working, and actually just working with your crew and just being present with them, just like a chef would. You know, certain chefs season things in certain ways, and, you know, it only happens on, you know, while you're in the kitchen. And, you know, on the floor, I think it's the same thing. You know, I sort of have a particular style, and while I'm on the floor, I sort of just guide my staff into that style of serving. You know, I'm sort of like, I think that perhaps my style is a cross really between, because I grew up in, you know, because I was trained informally, I think a lot of that informal cafe, you know, fast, you know, culture and style of service has sort of blended into, you know, my inspirations, you know, my great inspirations, the flower drum, you know. Going there as, you know, going there as an early restaurateur of 22, 23 years of age, and just sitting there and just watching, you know, these absolute legends, you know, fillet fish in 10 seconds or whatever they would do, you know. And so just looking at, you know, at restaurants like the Flower Drum, or going back to the Latin, I think the Latin was really fundamentally very influential for me. That style of sort of like, you know, we were a cafe cucina, and we, you know, that's what we wanted to do, but in a cafe setting and in a fast setting. And I think that over the years, that sort of just developed into my own style.
One of the reasons why you're not necessarily on the floor as much these days is the incredible expansion and different offerings that you're creating across the country. You're in Byron.
Yeah, I felt that I'll be really honest. I sort of felt to the point that I, as a waiter in particular, I lost my patience, you know, and I think the patience is fundamentally important for any waiter, you know. And I just was not enjoying it anymore. And so therefore I started to look at other ways of, you know, staying in the industry and, you know, enjoying the industry. And with that sort of like, I started to sort of like, you know, dive into doing other venues and growing. And I suppose that I found a lot of satisfaction in that and a lot of tranquility. And it sort of like, you know, motivated me and kept me pumped up, and, you know, that's why probably I'm still here. You know, it's a hard industry to be involved in 30 years later, you know.
Well, you've opened in Byron. You've got an incredible offering that you're doing in Double Bay. You've got the Rocks in the future.
Yeah, I do a lot of collaborations with a lot of people, so I quite like that. I think that that's, again, one of my skills, is that I'm able to collaborate with a lot of people, and I JV with a lot of people, and I have a lot of different partnerships, you know, which I sort of quite enjoy because I get certain things out of different partnerships. But we went up to Byron and we've done, you know, opened up Blondel Beach Italian Food. It's a bit of a take on North Bondi Italian food. And, you know, again, a lot of my friends and, you know, that community from North Bondi sort of moved up to Byron, and it sort of makes sense to me. You know, it's a nice environment to be in. It's nice to get out of Sydney, and it's nice to, I sort of like when I travel, I actually like working while I'm traveling, you know. So it's sort of good to go up to Byron and actually have, you know, have a mini holiday, but at the same time also be occupied. So that was quite rewarding. Blondel Beach Italian Food is, you know, it's just really, you know, seaside dining, really easy, informal, you know, less is more, sort of a bit of a take on, you know, cucina povera. We're loving it. It's been quite an experience.
This episode of Deep in the Weeds is proudly supported by Square, helping businesses of all sizes start, run, and grow.
Boris Tizzini, Icebergs Dining Room and Bar. Once we started working with Square, just everything fell into place. What's been great about it, it's just allowed us to streamline the whole ordering and payment process. And it's also really, what's really important for me, it's also had a really good impact on the back end with the reporting. We get heaps of usable data. The information that we get off Square helps us establish or reinforce, you know, the people that we're serving.
For more information, go to squareup.com. Tell me a bit about the project at Double Bay, the bar and Tizzini's Corner.
The bar was just, it's just basically a residency. It could last for a year, it could last for two. It was just a really good opportunity to, you know, I was approached to reignite you know, that sort of the F&B program at the Intercontinental, which was a bit sort of stale. And so I went in and sort of saw this great opportunity. I've always been fascinated by hotel bars. I was saying to someone in another interview that I'm, you know, I'm a big fan of dive bars, but, like, you know, I love going to dive bars, but my real fascination is hotel bars, you know. And so I've always been inspired by, you know, bars like, you know, the American Bar at the Savoy is an example, where that sort of quite old school tradition still exists, you know, but then they're very forward thinking in their drink making. So that was the inspiration, and I sort of felt that Sydney had so many good bars and we're starting to sort of, you know, move into the world of hotel bars, but the Intercontinental was sort of like quite unique because it's a little bit conservative at the same time. And so we wanted to create a little bit of sort of elegant decadence, if you know, if that's the right way of describing it. And, you know, it's been a really good opportunity because I've always wanted to do hotels, and hopefully one day, I think I've said this to you before, you know, that hopefully I'll get to do my own hotel. And so it's been a little bit of an apprenticeship and a bit of training, you know, and sort of working in an environment like a hotel structure, you know, it's completely different to restaurant structure. And, as I've sort of enjoyed putting the project together as much as I've enjoyed learning. And, you know, I think that we've really delivered. And it's, you know, it's a set design. We didn't spend much money on it. You know, it's not a million-dollar fit out. But I think that we managed to capture the essence of, you know, those great hotel bars of Europe, you know.
You've, been in business for a couple of decades. So much has changed. Has the style of business changed? Like, does technology play a big role in what you do these days?
Well, you know, mate, to be quite honest, when I first started, we had no till, you know, we had no point of sale. It was all verbal, you know. So that was quite funny. So now we definitely rely heavily on technology, and that's an area, again, that I'm trying to really, you know, sort of understand and allow to help my business, you know, grow, you know, like being able to get feedback from clients, being able to recognize clients when they book, you know, what table they like to sit at, what they like to eat and so on, and being able to get that information out to clients, you know, easily and without sort of, you know, invading their sort of like private, you know, without it becoming spam, is really important. So we rely heavily on technology now in all sorts of technology, also in just, you know, everything from, you know, obviously food costing to rostering, you know, to events, you know, and planning and so on. So, yeah, technology is becoming a large part of our business.
20 years for Icebergs is really amazing, especially the standard that you set. You're celebrating with a book that'll come out later this year. What's it been like putting that together and sort of, you know, reminiscing and looking at the past?
Yeah, well, it's been great because we worked with Julie Gibbs, and I sort of had done another publication with Julie, which was really good. And it sort of started as also I was, you know, quite honoured to be invited to the Powerhouse Museum of Archives. F&B. So Julian approached me on that, and so I started collecting. I've collected quite a bit of information over the last 30 years, and I'm sort of kept everything. I've pretty much kept every menu that we've ever written, you know, and I've kept pretty much, you know, every piece of artwork that's ended up on one of my walls, you know. So there was like rooms and rooms and rooms literally of menus, coasters, CDs, books, art and so on. And so we're going through, so I'm donating most of it. So 80 to 90% has been donated to the archives, because I sort of felt that I got to the point, Anthony, that, you know, transporting it around from office to office, some of it started to get damaged, and so some really beautiful and important sort of pieces. There's some really beautiful donations from some great artists, in particular from the Melbourne Wine Room and Cafe Cucina days, and there's some great menus from the Icebergs and so on, and so, you know, so that's going into the archives, which is great because it'd be great for my kids and so on and so on. So, you know, it's quite an honour. So through why we were putting these archives together, then it's sort of like Julie was like, well, why don't we do a 20th anniversary book for the Icebergs? So that's how it all started. And, it's been fantastic. What we did is it's really a lifestyle book more than just a recipe, just a cookbook. So we divided it up into different sections as the timeline, how we got there,
there's an introduction and sort of there's a segment on the architecture of the icebergs. Then there's a segment on music and what role that's played at the icebergs. There's a segment on events. There's a news day section. There's about 30 playlists, I think, or so that you can download. And then we invited every chef that collaborated or that was part of the icebergs, you know, from Karen Martini to Monty to Alex to, you know, Ori to Paul Wilson and so on. And all chefs made a contribution. There's 50 recipes all up, and there's 50 drinks, if I'm not mistaken. And yeah, so it's a little bit of a it's sort of dedicated really to the clients of the icebergs, you know. It's going to be quite a beautiful book in terms of it, like aesthetically. But, you know, it's really just a reminder. It's a dedication to Sydney and to the icebergs and to my clients rather than a book trying to promote ourselves as a restaurant.
What did it feel like when you've gone back through the archives and seen menus from 15 years ago or 10 years ago? Did it have an effect on you looking at these things?
Yeah, sort of, all, you know, all that stuff has an effect on you. You sort of realise how long you've been in it for, you know. Sometimes days just pass and, you know, you sort of forget what happened yesterday. But then, you know, when you look back at those things and you go, I remember that dish from Paul Wilson. That was incredible. Or that drink from this particular bartender or that particular event, you know. You know, we've done some pretty amazing events at the icebergs. You know, one of the best events we did is for our 10th year anniversary, we invited 10 chefs to do 10 dinners, you know, and then after the COVID, we did the, series, It Doesn't Taste Like This at Home, where we did a combination of cabaret and dinner and shows. It was pretty epic. So, you know, you go through all that stuff and sort of you start to realize, you know, how much actually work you've actually done. And how many people you've served and, you know, how many staff have come through the venue. So it does have a profound effect on you. Definitely made me realise my age, that's for sure. But we're looking back at some photos. It was pretty funny, Anthony and Taylor. Like, we're looking back at some News Day photos and Angus and I were like, oh, fuck, that's it. That's the last one. We're really looking old. Not good for two old blokes to be part of the party, you know. You know, one of those two old blokes in the corner, hands up in the air. So it was like, that's it, 20, done, over. So that's our last party this year as well.
you mentioned a really fascinating word a little bit ago, which was tranquility and finding that tranquility while, because you're taking on so much and you're developing so many things and creating so many new experiences for people, but you're finding tranquility as well. What's it like, you know, finding that balance and that enjoyment?
It's fantastic because I suppose probably one of my weaker strengths is that or, you know, one of my weaknesses is that I'm not, you know, as much as I make sure that every business is profitable, you know, and every business needs to be standalone, I sort of dive into it for different reasons. I sort of like the till's always the last thing for me, and it's like, you know, that excitement of putting together a public space is something that I just thoroughly enjoy, and it gives me incredible satisfaction. You know, I dream about my restaurants. I'm in them. You know, I can see myself dining in them, and I can see myself working them. And, you know, and I sort of like, you know, it's just an opportunity to keep on creating these beautiful spaces. You know, not all of us, not everyone gets that opportunity. You know, opening last night was pretty special. You know, seeing it like a basic room, you know, it's just like really, really, it's almost anti everything I've done for the last decade or so, you know. It's like minimum budget, you know, there's eight wines on the list, you know. It's like, it's, you know, it's just, and to see that come alive and see an idea like that come alive, which is really lo-fi, you know. But it tells an incredible story, you know. It's like, you know, it's one of the great rewards, you know, one of the great, you know, great rewards for me. And, you know, I wouldn't give it up. And, you know, and so creating these places sort of keeps me still in contact and attached to the industry, you know. Working on the floor and running restaurants is a great attachment. You know, you live and breathe it every day, you know. Whereas, like, not being on the floor as often, you know, I still get that satisfaction and, you know, those moments of joy, by creating new spaces. I think that that's really important to me. And I, you know, started to really enjoy them, and I sort of started to find a little bit of a balance, you know, in terms of like the hours that I work, and I don't have to be in the restaurants till 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock anymore, you know. So that, you know, that's very taxing. Anyone can tell you that, you know, when you're working from, you know, 9 in the morning to 12 at night, 6 days a week, you know, 15, 16 years in a row, it's pretty taxing, you know. So now I'm enjoying another side of the industry, which allows me to have a little bit more physical free time, which I think is really important. And with that physical free time comes a bit of tranquility, and to be able to be present. So I'm more present with my kids and my family. I'm probably more present with myself. I think that that's really important. That's allowed me to sort of like just relax a bit more, you know, discover the joy of running again after years, you know. I've discovered rhythm breathing. It's quite beautiful. It's like meditation while you're running.
Well, has this sort of tranquility allowed you the space mentally to then look at new opportunities and be reinvented?
Yeah, absolutely. It allows me to sort of and I've always been one to sort of cross across a lot of genres, so it's not just F&B, you know. I do a lot of collaborations in fashion. I do a lot of collaborations in music. I'm touring a club called Ronda, which is one of the biggest and most important pansexual parties in the States. I toured them a couple of years ago, and I'm retouring them this year. So the ability to sort of cross genres and look at sort of like lots of different things and get involved in lots of creative projects, you know, is really relaxing for me. You know, I love it. You know, it's just like I couldn't imagine not doing it. So It's very satisfying, and with satisfaction comes tranquility, I suppose.
I know you're sort of wrapping up the book at the moment. When can we expect to see it on the market?
Yeah, so the book's gone to print, believe it or not. Julie was incredibly impressed. I think we were 2 days late. The last publication was 3 years late. It's like, gosh, you know, I don't even know why she still speaks to me, you know. It was great. It was a real, like, collaboration of, like, you know, lots of different people putting in a big effort. All the chefs are absolutely fantastic, you know. Everyone put in a big effort. And, you know, Libby tried to sort of, like, helped us write, you know, the dialogues and so on. And what was really interesting is we sort of, like, coming across all these photographs, but nothing was in high res. So a lot of the photos that we had that we selected were just because they were the only ones we really had in high res. And that's one thing that I don't really have. I'm not very good at keeping like Dropbox files and things like that. But it's gone to print, Anthony, and I think it will be. We're hoping to release it. The Iceberg's renovations end in October, so we're hoping to be open by late September, early October, and we would either pre-launch the book then or wait till the 14th, which is the actual 20th anniversary. I sort of feel like maybe we should launch it then. I'm not quite sure. I haven't made a decision then. But, you know, so, yeah, it comes out. It's about 400 pages. So it's quite a big book. There's lots of tributes and dedications, which is really quite beautiful. You know, anything that's published is the documentation of your work, of your life, you know, so it's there for the records. And I suppose, as I said, it's a dedication to Sydney, but in saying that, I suppose it's also, you know, it's there for my children, you know, and my children's children, that, you know, it's actually been published. So, you know, you're on the record.
Well, what you've created and what you continue to create is an absolute inspiration, and it's an honor to have you on Deep in the Weeds today to catch up again. Please keep in touch, and we'll catch up again soon.
Yeah, and thank you for your incredible support and everyone's support. We really, really appreciate it. So thank you very much.
This is the Deep in the Weeds podcast. I'm Anthony Huckstep. Stay tuned as we take a deep dive into the lives of the incredible people who ply their trade in the food and hospitality sector. Special thanks to executive producer Rob Locke for making this all happen. Follow us on Instagram at Deep in the Weeds Podcast, or email us at podcast@deepintheweeds.com.au. Stay safe and be well.